On Midwest Week, a special investigation begins for Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Sean Crawford, News Director for WUIS Radio in Springfield. So, Sean, remind us, what is this special investigative committee investigating?
Well, Herb, what they are looking at is the House Speaker, Michael Madigan, the longest-serving legislative leader in the country. He continues to serve as the state Democratic Party chair, so he wields a lot of power. And there have been claims made, even by Commonwealth Edison, to the federal prosecutor that the Speaker had worked with them to basically help them pass legislation in exchange for contracts and jobs for his associates with that utility in northern Illinois. And that has been basically the extent of this so far. Madigan has not been charged, and he does not admit that he's done anything wrong. But Republicans were the ones that called for this, what is pretty much a rare special investigative panel. Madigan has called it a political stunt.
But there is a provision for this sort of special investigation, and has it been used much in the past, or this is a rare occurrence?
It is definitely a rare occurrence. It was used about a decade ago when a lawmaker was also caught in what was considered a bribery scheme. That person decided to resign from office after the federal prosecutor began looking into the case. And so it was actually never used in that period, but it was set up to investigate that specific Democratic lawmaker. In this case, it has gotten a little further along, and we are now waiting to see how it actually plays out. They've only had one meeting so far, and they've been waiting to hear from the federal prosecutor and have had some mixed reaction to what was said there on whether or not the federal prosecutor wants them to delve into some of these details as this investigation is still going on a criminal level.
Okay, and remind us, Sean, that even though the Republican members of the General Assembly have called for this committee, the Special Investigative Committee, it's actually a split membership?
That's pretty rare. It's a bipartisan membership, three Republicans, three Democrats. And so basically that means somebody has to cross over from the Democratic side at the end of the day to pretty much accomplish anything with this committee, such as some type of reprimand for the Speaker, or it could even lead to his removal from office if it got that far. But there's another process that would have to take place for that to happen, and it gets very convoluted. But to get past this level, again, at least a Democrat would have to side with the Republicans. So far, we're not expecting that will happen.
Okay. And how much power does this committee have? Can it force people to testify?
They do have subpoena power. They can't really force somebody to come in and testify. Somebody, you know, could come in and refuse to testify at this point, but they can ask for that to happen. There is a lot of indication, of course, that Republicans want that to occur. Whether Democrats will go along with it, we will see. It's not just the House Speaker who likely would be subpoenaed if that happened. It could be other associates who have worked with Speaker Madigan, and some of those have been people whose names have come up as part of this federal investigation.
Okay, and remind us, Sean, why is a case involving Mike Madigan so important?
Well, again, as I mentioned, he is the longest-serving legislative leader in the country, and just as important, he is the state Democratic Party chairman. He's been in that role for over 20 years, and really what that means is that he controls most everything that's going on with at least Democratic Party politics in the state. And he certainly controls what passes in Springfield. So, if the Speaker is not on board with something, there's a good chance it's going to get held up and not go anywhere. So he, for years, has held this type of power. And, again, anything that calls into question, you know, whether or not he is going to remain in that position for much longer, he's in his late 70s. A lot of people think, you know, he's going to be leaving at some point soon. Again, he's given no indication of that, but he will be up for his another term as the House Speaker come January. This may or may not be the thing that takes out Speaker Madigan, but maybe some of his members may decide it's time to make a change. So all of this is really building a lot of pressure on Democrats in the Illinois House and really across Illinois.
And do we have any idea how long this special investigative committee might be meeting, or is that just totally unknown at this point?
Well, we don't know, and as I mentioned, it's a rare occurrence, and I guess a lot of it may depend if people will come and testify. That could string things out. I do not expect they're going to be meeting day after day after day. It sounds like they'll meet maybe once a week, and of course we're going to get down to the second meeting here next week. They met once, just more for organizational purposes. So Democrats don't seem to be moving this too fast, and Republicans would love, I think, to have something happen before the election. But again, nobody really knows where this is headed at this point, so we're just following along like everyone else.
Now, one of the key votes for Illinois residents this fall is the constitutional amendment, and what's that all about?
Well, we have an Illinois constitution, and have had it since 1970, that calls for a flat income tax. That means no matter how much you make, you pay that income tax. It has changed. The rate has changed through the years. But whether you're one of the richest people in the state or maybe even a poor person in the state, you're going to pay the same rate on income. What especially Democrats have really pushed, and this was Governor J.B. Pritzker, one of his pet projects coming in, was to go to what is called a progressive income tax, which many other states have, and that is more like the federal level, where you depend upon your income level, you pay a different rate. And he would like to see people who make above a certain amount, households, I believe, above $250,000, would pay a higher income tax rate. Now, business is fighting against this. Labor is fighting in favor of it. So you do have a lot of split of who's saying what. You know, you have people on the side that are opponents to this amendment, and this would be a constitutional amendment. They say that if you allow this to happen, it's going to be a blank check to Springfield, where politicians could raise taxes a lot easier. Well, they can do that now. It's not an easy vote for anybody to raise taxes, and it wouldn't be easy in the future either. But I believe their concern is more that if it only affects a certain number of people, the highest earners, it might be easier to really soak them with higher income taxes in the future. And that is one of the things that's really been part of this main discussion point.
And remind us, Sean, what has the flat tax rate in Illinois been recently? Somewhere around 3%, 3.5%?
Well, the rate for many years was a flat 3%, but then it got raised up, and then it got brought back down. And right now we are just under 5%, 4.95% for individuals in Illinois. That is the current rate. And the rate structure would be set differently if we were allowed to have a graduated income tax. It's believed that would bring in more money to the state overall than what Illinois currently brings in. So a lot of people say it's an answer to Illinois' longstanding budget woes. Again, though, there are people who say it's, again, a blank check for Springfield to be able to write to tax people and not worry about the ramifications of that. So, again, it's not going to be an easy decision either way. Again, being a constitutional amendment here in Illinois, it would require a 60% approval. That is not easy to get, as you well know. I mean, even the most popular politicians quite often have trouble reaching that 60% level when it comes to overall votes. And we don't know what the pandemic and a lot of voting by mail and what that's going to mean for this specific issue on the ballot. And then at the same time, what's even more fascinating about it is you have two of the richest men in the country, J.B. Pritzker, Illinois' governor, who has put a lot of his own money into the cause in favor of getting people to support this amendment. And now you have the richest man in Illinois, and again, one of the richest in the country, Ken Griffin. He's made his money more in hedge funds. He's the one who helped really support Governor Bruce Rauner as well, and Republicans in recent years. He has also put a big chunk of money toward the opposition for this. And so that's where I was saying I think you're going to see a lot of advertising here in the next few weeks, because there's just a lot of money out there that's been set aside for this issue.